brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jason Burmes, sitting in for Alex Jones. It is April 8th, 2010, and we are currently joined by Peter Dale Scott, author, historian, and poet, and we're going to get to him in just a moment, as well as his latest article, Can the U.S. Triumph in the Drug-Addicted War in Afghanistan, Opium, the CIA, and the Karzai Administration. But Mr. Scott is actually featured in my latest and, I believe, greatest documentary to date, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, released April 15th here first at Infowars.com and Prison Planet. TV. So we're going to show you a trailer and come back to Mr. Scott.
Yes, these men that hypnotized follow us call this a new order. It is not new, and it is not order.
Adolf Hitler, he wanted a world government with himself as the master leader.
One small central authority of individuals can then dictate a policy that's going to be distributed down to the rest of the world, everywhere.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the world's superclass. This documentary chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
We've become accustomed to the idea that every now and then something is going to happen. And we just know from the beginning we're not going to get to the bottom of it.
Learn how this global oligarchy controls the populace through drug trafficking, money laundering, staged terror attacks, media propaganda, and debt.
Americans are easily motivated by false flag operations, and I think it's inevitable that we will see false flag operations in the near future.
Witness their plan for a global tax and a cashless surveillance society in which every man, woman, and child is microchipped at birth.
A network Washington set up to run arms to the Contras wound up running cocaine for the most vicious drug cartel in the world.
Barney Frank acknowledged having used a male prostitute, whom he then hired as a personal employee. And he ran a prostitution business out of Frank's home.
If you look at the elite throughout history, many of the people that achieve pinnacles of power are into the occult.
Stories about what happens in these redwoods are hard to come by.
Invisible Empire, a new world order defined. Secure your copy of Invisible Empire on DVD at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, or see it in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
And we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show, and we are joined by Peter Dale Scott. And again, his latest article is Can the U.S. Triumph in a Drug-Addicted War in Afghanistan, Opium, the CIA, and the Karzai Administration? Since we're going to break in about 90 seconds, Peter, why did you write this article?
Well, it was actually, you know, I have a good friend, Al McCoy, who wrote the definitive book about the CIA and drugs called The Politics of Heroin. It's now in its third edition. But he just published an article on Tom Dispatch, and I thought that he was underplaying the role of the CIA in the spread of the global drug trafficking since World War II. That, in fact, it, as you can learn from his book, the CIA and a forgotten adjunct of it, the OPC, Office of Policy Coordination, actually built up the drug trade in Burma to create a local force to stop the Chinese communists from moving south into Southeast Asia. And there's been continuous relationship between the CIA and the drug traffic since. So what happened in Afghanistan originally in the 80s, and then again in 2001, the CIA went to that country twice and helped build up the drug traffic there.
And that is so key to understanding. In this article, it explains that prior to 2001, the opium production out of Afghanistan was about 185 tons. How does it turn into 4,600 tons so quickly? We'll be back after this with Peter Dale Scott. It's the Alex Jones Show, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Hi, everyone. Andy Anderson here. Are you using those little bottles of hand gel that kill germs, bacteria, and other nasties? In today's world, that's smart, especially with the filthy doorknobs, shopping carts, and handrails we touch every day. Did you know that once the alcohol evaporates in a few seconds, goodbye effectiveness. No more protection till you use it again. PureWorks to the rescue. Our FDA-compliant foam, lotion, soap, and spray do not contain alcohol. Their killing power lasts up to 4 hours. PureWorks disinfecting spray is EPA-certified to kill swine flu, bird flu, MRSA, HIV, hepatitis B and C, and for our friends in medicine, kills C. diff, along with a whole host of viruses and bacteria. Molds and fungus, too. It's even safe around pets and children. You'll love how your skin feels with PureWorks, soft and supple. No more dry skin. Here's to a little peace of mind knowing that your hands are still germ-free hours later. Call now, toll-free, 888-245-0300 to get your hands on PureWorks and get PureWorks on your hands. That's 888-245-0300.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, this is Steve Shanky, Foods Direct. We have stopped taking orders for the Buy 3, Get 1 Free program and have started production. Congratulations. Your choice to participate in the production of your food supply by pre-ordering will prove very wise. Shipments will begin the end of March and will be sent in the order that they were received. Now something fun. It's springtime. We all know that garden seeds aren't really a food supply, but they're a great supplement to your food reserve if you have the time and place to garden. Here's the plan. When you add a one-month superfood spring pack to your food storage, we'll send you that garden of non-hybrid seeds absolutely free. Order now while the free seeds last. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Get a real supply of food to eat while you wait for your supplemental garden to grow. Call 800-409-5633, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are back at the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes sitting in. We are joined by Peter Dale Scott, who I sat down with last October, and he was gracious enough to give me an hour and 40-minute interview for my film, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. And one of the things we did talk about was CIA involvement in drug running in the past and even today in modern times. But at the time, this New York Times article had not come out yet, and you were actually alluding to this in our interview, saying that there had been some Russian journalists and sources out there that said that we were very much involved in the opium trade in Afghanistan. And then we had this headline, October 28, 2009, brother of Afghan leader said to be paid by the CIA, and this is, of course, Ahmed Wali Karzai. You go into this later in the article, Peter. But how is it that we've set up an infrastructure that is openly using a drug lord, who just happens to be our puppet dictator's brother, as the lead opium dealer in the region? How does this happen?
Well, twice over, first time in 1979 and again in 2001 after 9/11, the CIA went into Afghanistan. It didn't have very many assets there to choose from, and the assets it chose happened to be drug traffickers. And its hands were not totally free in this matter, because the first time, which was the crucial decision in 1979, it was trying to stay as remotely from operations as possible. So it supplied a great deal of money to what we call the ISI, which is the Pakistan Intelligence Service. Pakistan was actually frightened of Afghan independence because there's an unresolved border issue between Afghanistan and Pakistan. So Pakistan gave the money, or more than half of the money, to its preferred client who had a base in Pakistan but not in Afghanistan. And he became, with the aid of CIA money, perhaps the world's largest heroin trafficker in the 1980s. He not only was dealing in opium, but he developed heroin labs in ISI territory in Pakistan. And if you go back to that period, 1979, what we call the Golden Crescent wasn't a factor in the world drug traffic at all, which is amazing when you consider that now something like 90 or 93% of the world's heroin is coming from Afghanistan itself. Mm-hmm. And it went up very quickly from like an insignificant amount to, 2007 was the peak year, 8,200 tons. You mentioned that that was a huge build-up from 2001, mm-hmm. when it was only 185 tons. I think in all fairness, we ought to compare the 8,000 figure with 2,000 rather than 2001, because that 185-ton figure was a record low in the last two decades, because the Taliban was desperate to get world recognition. It was only recognized by three countries at that time. And so it just made a point of using its own brutal methods to stamp out the drug trade in Afghanistan. 185 tons was from the, most of that, nearly all of it, was from the area of Afghanistan that the Taliban did not yet control. And then in 2001, we went back in, so Washington, made a conscious decision to ally itself with the Northern Alliance, who were responsible for the drug still being grown in Afghanistan. They went in with the aid of drug traffickers, and that has colored the nature of the relationship we have in that country ever since. This is not the first time. I mean, something very like this happened in Vietnam. America went into Vietnam in the 1950s, had no real allies there, and installed a puppet, really, Ngo Dinh Diem, and with very little popular base, he relied on his brother. This is just as Karzai relies on his brother Ahmed Wali to deliver the votes, organize the countryside, also be a CIA asset, which he was.
And let me just stop you there, Peter, because that's actually in the mainstream news just yesterday. I was watching Wolf Blitzer, and the Cafferty Report was coming on, and they were discussing how not only does Waleed Karzai deal this opium, but he also rigs the elections for his brother. They were laughing about it. It was like an inside joke to them. They said, oh, I wonder if his brother is helping to rig the elections. This isn't very funny to me.
Well, history repeated becomes farce, I guess, because this is what we had in Vietnam. Ngo Dinh Diem ran the drug trade, was a CIA asset, and faked an election for his brother Ngo Dinh Diem. It's painful that we say that we're doing this as a fight for democracy. It's actually meaningless to bring democracy to a country like Afghanistan. It's not even really a state in our sense. It's a collection of tribes. And it always had a certain amount of violence built into it, but it was a much more benign state of affairs before we started meddling, and particularly before we pumped all this money in behind the drug traffic, because the drug traffickers are much more ruthless than the traditional tribal elders who have their own code of behavior. And the idea that we can just go into a country and impose something on it and expect people to like us is ridiculous. It's like the British Redcoats coming to America in the 1770s and expecting to get rid of these miscreants like George Washington. It wasn't going to happen.
And again, instead of ending these wars like the Obama administration had promised, he's actually sent tens of thousands of new troops into Afghanistan, and the media propaganda that that's where the real fight is has really been thrust upon the people in the last 18 to 24 months. We have to be in Afghanistan. We have to have more troops in Afghanistan. We're going to have a troop shift into Afghanistan. What do you see that environment like in the next 2 years? Are we going to still just keep mounting troops and mounting troops, or when we get to an election year, will we start to pull them out a little more?
Well, I think Obama faces a very tough decision in the future. He might be, for all I know, I can't read his mind, he might be sincere in thinking that he's going to pull the troops out, because certainly the most sensible thing for him to do, given what he has done, which is put the, you know, we now have 100,000 troops there, and also don't forget, 100,000 mercenaries. Blackwater still has contracts with the government, now called Z, but it's the old Blackwater. And there are other private firms. It's 200,000 troops, and that's not enough by counterinsurgency doctrine to pacify the country. It's not even enough to pacify the Pashtun, the southern half of it, which is the basic source of the problem. I think he may think, and he may have been advised, that he should pull out, but I agree with Andrew Bacevich that once you unleash the dogs of war, it's not so easy to haul them back in, and America is going to find itself in a position, I will predict this, that in 2011, which was the year where he said he would begin to start pulling the troops back out, the situation is going to be at least as messy as it is now. And there's going to be a great deal of pressure on him, both from inside the country and from the area of Pakistan and Afghanistan itself, to stay in. In fact, the situation in Pakistan may be worse, for all I know, because it's a very unstable country right now.
And, you know, you just mentioned that it would be like the Redcoats coming into America, what the United States has done in Afghanistan. I want to get your take on the video that was recently released this week of really soldiers being judge, jury, and executioner from the sky on not only Reuters reporters, but then when one of them seemed to survive, they opened up on a van with two children in the front seat of the car when no weapons were in sight. They kept saying, "Do you see a weapon?" "No, I don't see a weapon." "Is he going for a weapon? Is he going for a weapon?" Engage, and then they gunned that van down. Of course this is going to create an insurgency. Of course this is going to create a dislike of the United States and its policies.
Well, I'm glad that film got released, and I hope that the people listening to this show will make a point of finding it on Google, because it is a lesson on what war is like, particularly a war where, as is the case here in both Iraq and Afghanistan, our troops fighting there have very, very little exposure to the culture of the country. I'm talking about the people on the ground now. They're going in, raiding homes. They can't talk to these people. They rely on interpreters who are often not the most reliable people around. And there's so many other things to see on the web. There's another story on the web about Fallujah. Fallujah was the city which America made a point of attacking heavily in 2004 and created a great number of civilian casualties. And there's an article now about, because they used depleted uranium in the weaponry there, and they also used a lot of new weapons, which probably by UN standards are illegal weapons. And what really horrifies me is, I'd forgotten this, but at the time, the New York Times reported that we had bombed a civilian hospital, and the reason that America bombed the hospital in Fallujah was because it was the source of what the Times called rumors that there were large numbers of civilian casualties. Well, there were large numbers of civilian casualties.
And these are not isolated incidents, Peter. We have to point out that these are happening more and more and more, and our military is shielding them from view. If we didn't have WikiLeaks, this wouldn't even be out there. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes sitting in. We'll be back after this with Peter Dale Scott.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
One major world crisis away from having a totalitarian type of system.
The main event is the wholesale destruction of the world economy.
The push for every nation on the globe to identify and number all of its citizens.
Friends, I hope that you will order Shadow Government from InfoWars.com. We also have some specials. You can get some of our other films half price when you order Shadow Government. A new level in production quality and in information. It exposes how a cashless society, surveillance, beast grid of total control is being put into place. This film needs to be seen. Everybody needs to get it. So order yours today. Show it to your friends, your family, your church, your neighbors, your boss, your employees. Shadow Government, ladies and gentlemen. Get your copy at InfoWars.com today. Shadow Government. It gives Big Brother a black eye. Available at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
In the American Empire, politics, and JFK, and of course the war conspiracy are just some of the books that Peter Dale Scott has authored. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes sitting in talking with Peter. And Peter, these aren't isolated incidents. These are just the ones that are caught on film and sometimes leaked to the public. And without an organization like WikiLeaks that has been targeted by intelligence, we wouldn't know about these things. And one of the things that you said in the interview that I'm probably going to be paraphrasing right now that I did include in my film is, with the continuity of government program, with non-constitutional authorities in control, we somehow have to mobilize a mass movement, and we have to use the technology at our fingertips, a.k.a. the Internet. And that's what WikiLeaks and others have done. Can you speak to that?
Yes, well, I think it's true. I mean, the big difference between these two wars we have now, Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Vietnam War back in the 60s and 70s, was that the press was, compared to today, relatively independent. It wasn't totally independent, but there were journalists who came back and were reporting the truth about Vietnam, even in the New York Times. And the Pentagon has taken major steps to make sure that never happens again. So now all the journalists are embedded. And thank goodness we have the Internet, which is performing today the role which the journalists like David Halberstam and Malcolm Brown performed back in the 60s. So, yes, I think it, as citizens, it's our duty, if we are loyal to the country. I say this as a Canadian, but I feel loyal to America, the country. It's a duty to inform ourselves about the realities in Iraq and Afghanistan. WikiLeaks, I just tested. If you just type Google for WikiLeaks, you get right away the video that Jason was talking about a minute ago. Or if you type in William Blum and Fallujah, F-A-L-L-U-J-A-H, you will get this story that Bill Blum has just done about how now there are an appalling number of birth defects in Fallujah because of the really illegal munitions like depleted uranium that were used there. So what we need are citizens informing themselves by going to the Internet. And I'm hopeful, in my book, The Road to 9-11, it's filled with depressing facts, but I'm not really a pessimist. I'm an optimist about this country because there are decent people in it. But I think that we have to appeal to the decency of Americans of all stripes to say, although Americans disagree with each other all the time, that's the flavor of life in this country, that there should be also some things which we agree upon and bring us together. We don't want a country that tortures. We don't want a government that invades foreign countries gratuitously. Well, not exactly gratuitously, but for hidden motives like oil, and with the false claims that there are weapons of mass destruction there.
Let me just stop you just for a second, Peter, because oil, you know, they used to say, oh, we're not there for the oil. I literally, on CNN yesterday, saw a commercial pushing the new green economy where they said, well, if we don't do it and we know it's going to be hard, it's a lot harder on our troops overseas. And then they show a tank blowing up. So now they're just out in the open saying, yeah, we're in Afghanistan and Iraq for their oil. If we don't go to a green economy, we're going to be in these wars forever. They have nothing to do with terrorism or weapons of mass destruction. That's the message I got.
Yeah, well, I think the best proof that we went in for the oil is, as I say in my book, The Road to 9-11. Before 9-11, in the very first month of the George W. Bush first administration, Cheney was set up in charge of a task force on energy. And they've been very, even though it was a public body, they've not released any. They've released almost no documents from that task force, but they did release two after a bitter court fight. And these were two maps of Iraq, which were all sliced up, showing where the oil was. Well, this is January. I mean, we had no reason to be at war with Iraq then, but they were planning then how to divide up the oil. And the first administrator who was sent there 2003 was, he had a sort of free enterprise notion that the American companies could come in right away and take over the oil fields, which produced a lot of reaction in Iraq, obviously.
Peter Dale Scott actually highlights massive amounts of this very damning evidence in his many books. We're going to come back after the break and take your call specifically for Peter, and I also want to get into the money laundering aspect of this drug running out of Afghanistan, whether it be BCCI of
yesteryear. We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
We are back at the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis sitting in. Before we go back to Peter Dale Scott and take your calls for Peter, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, eFoodsDirect.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com, 1-800-409-5633. Okay, so we don't have to remind you that you need food to survive. Our biggest sponsor, eFoodsDirect, is the longest continually operating storable foods company in the country. They also happen to be true patriots and have supported the freedom movement and InfoWars for years. 1-800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com. Now, before I go back to Peter Dale Scott, I want to read just a little subsection out of his latest article, which is entitled, Can the U.S. Triumph in Drug-Addicted War in Afghanistan? Opium, the CIA, and the Karzai Administration. Other institutions with a direct stake in the international drug traffic include major banks, which make loans to countries like Colombia and Mexico, knowing full well that drugs flow with drug flows will help underwrite the loan's repayment. A number of the biggest banks, including Citibank, Bank of New York, and the Bank of Boston, have been identified as money laundering conduits, yet never have faced penalties serious enough to change their behavior. In short, United States involvement in the international drug traffic links the CIA major financial interests and criminal interests in this country and abroad. Can you elaborate on that for us, Peter?
Yes, well, I think you said before the break that we might talk about the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI.
Absolutely.
At the very beginning of the first American involvement in Afghanistan, well, I mean the first military involvement, was in 1980. All the American equipment, and it was considerable, that was shipped there was shipped through bank accounts of BCCI and the ships of something called Gokal Shipping, which was the same people, essentially. And they were people involved in the drug traffic, and the BCCI was eventually closed down in 1990 because of drug trafficking or drug money laundering. But it was a bank that the CIA was, I shouldn't say the CIA, the head of the CIA, William Casey, met regularly in Washington and also in Asia with the head of BCCI. I think it was no accident that we chose a drug money laundering bank, because once you know, there's huge amounts of money involved in drug trafficking and in money laundering.
And let me say this, in my film, I actually show a news clip of, I believe it's either NBC or CBS, with them admitting that William Casey had come clean and said that the U.S. did use BCCI to fund some of its covert operations. I mean, this is out in the open, mainstream media, and CNN International reported that Bin Laden was also funded through BCCI back in the day.
Yes, and I have another book coming out next fall, which not quite sure about the title. It'll either be The Road to Afghanistan or The War Machine. You can keep up with it just by Googling for me, Peter Dale Scott, and what you'll see right away is my website, and the information will be there. But I'm going to be pointing out, I have a whole chapter in that book about how there have been a number of banks that serve the purposes both of the CIA and also of organized crime, including major mob figures. And the most notorious example of this, it also was closed down after it was exposed, was the Castle Bank and Trust in the Bahamas. And I show that there are connections, or the Nugan Hand Bank in Australia, which was a bank which financed the first major shipments of opium and heroin out of Southeast Asia into Australia back in the 70s. And I show that there is a kind of continuity underlying all of these banks, and they go back to a very strange figure, Paul Helliwell, who was a major figure for the CIA and OPC and helped set up the support networks that were operative in Thailand and Burma, but he also was the counsel for a bank which Meyer Lansky used to launder drug funds coming out of Southeast Asia. And that underworld CIA connection, I think, merits more attention than it gets. It's very difficult to learn anything about Paul Helliwell, but most anyway, you have to go to my book to see what it's all about. Mm-hmm. But that's a factor in, there are all kinds of people in the CIA. There's one corner of the CIA, with the corner which absorbed the old OPC, where all the drug trafficking business began, that has been a factor in our politics abroad, and I suggest also perhaps in our politics at home as well.
Well, I would agree. I think that this really goes to the very heart of the issue, that we go into these nations, they become even larger drug dealers than they were before. It comes back to U.S. covert operations and the CIA in cases like Iran-Contra, in cases like MENA, Arkansas, now in cases like Afghanistan, right out in the open. And like you said, they launder this money through these big banks. But even with the BCCI banking scandal and it going down in the 90s, not many people were prosecuted. And it just continues under these new banks. How does that happen? How does it go from one organization? Because obviously BCCI was really set up to do these money laundering operations, not only with the CIA, but international intelligence agencies abroad. So how is it that that gets shut down, and now we have Citibank involved, now we have Bank of Boston involved? How is that evolution take place?
Well, I think the involvement of Citibank and Bank of Boston is a bit different. They took drug money. The charge against BCCI was that they were actually involved in making the drug deals, and making the connections that were set up between the CIA and people in Afghanistan became drug traffickers. This is very extreme, because before 1979, Afghanistan was not really a player in the international heroin traffic at all. Hashish, yes, and there still is a market for Afghan hashish, but heroin was not produced locally. Opium was not produced in any great extent, except for local consumption, which was not huge. And now, of course, it's 93% of the world, so you've got to say that the CIA bears a large share of the responsibility for this. And we don't get anyone moving to end it. And this is where I would bring in Citibank and Bank of Boston. But why should they want to see the drug trade end? Back in 1982, for example, Mexico was about to default on its debt payments to the bank. And this would have meant technically, because these were very major loans, that technically Bank of America, Citibank, would have been technically bankrupt. And so America, Reagan stepped in and lent our money, your money, my money, tax money, to Mexico to continue its payments. Before they did that, they had the CIA do an estimate of how much of Mexico's foreign exchange earnings were coming from the drug trade. And the CIA produced this report, which is actually reproduced in a book called Underground Empire, saying that for Colombia and Mexico, 75% of the foreign exchange earnings are earned from the drug trade. Well, those are the earnings that Mexico could then use to pay the interest payments on its loans to Citibank. So there is no will in the financial superstructure of our country to end this drug trade, which helps us in this extraordinary position of being the world's largest debtor. And also pretending to be, I don't think it may be true for much longer, the world's largest power. This is a history of the decline of empires, which we saw in the case of Britain in my lifetime, and in the cases of Spain and Netherlands.
Well, what we're seeing really is a symbiotic relationship between these banks and global drug trafficking. It only benefits them on every single level. Let's take some calls for Peterdale, Scott. Let's go to Jared in Texas. Jared, you're on the line.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes, I guess some of the only questions I could ask for him would be, what would your comments be on his thoughts about secret societies? And was he part of a secret society himself? And another question I would have, just to finish it up, would be, do you think that it can still be argued that some of the main reasons that he was assassinated was because he was going to get us out of Vietnam, he was going to abolish the Federal Reserve, and he wanted to, as he put it, shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces?
And, of course, you're talking about JFK. Let's get Peterdale Scott's take on John
Kennedy.
Yeah, well,
there are two questions there. To take the JFK question first. I can say with confidence, and I think it's now historians are finally agreeing with me, though it took them a while, that yes, Kennedy did have a plan that had been approved as a National Security Action Memorandum to withdraw the bulk of U.S. troops from Vietnam by the end of 1965, and starting with 1,000 troops by the end of 63, and that plan was overruled almost immediately when Kennedy was killed. That doesn't prove that that's why Kennedy was killed, but it certainly, you had not only this consequence, but it was a suppressed consequence, because we didn't know the facts about this until much later. Mm-hmm. I know that there's also the charge that he was going to end the Federal Reserve. not. I'm still investigating. It's worthy of investigation, but I can't, because I have to get multiple sources for any claim I make, and I see it on the web a great deal, and I would say that's worthy of investigation. Now, coming to secret societies, yes, all the major universities, particularly the old private ones, have their secret societies that were like the Porcellian at Harvard, which had Theodore Roosevelt, and Franklin Roosevelt couldn't get in. They blackballed him. That's how secret they were. You have Skull and Bones at Yale, which had both candidates in the 2004 election, George W. Bush and also John Kerry. I think that's a symptom of a larger phenomenon. It's not really whether you were in a secret society or not, but the extent to which what I call the overworld runs this country. The people with elite backgrounds who go to elite universities and make friendships with other people there. I think that in the CIA, the early histories, the early years of the CIA, I think secret societies did play something of a role there, but that's because of the high percentage of overworld people in the CIA.
And there was actually a Hollywood movie that they put out where they kind of showed the evolution of Skull and Bones as a recruiting ground for these intelligence agencies.
So if we want to understand this country, we need to inform ourselves about Skull and Bones, too. But, you know, people are always looking, when I think of all the secret societies that people have pointed to as really running the country, Skull and Bones or Opus Dei or the Knights of Malta, there's so many different candidates. Council on Foreign Relations is not really a secret society, but it's up there. They're all aspects of the overworld, and they overlap with each other.
Exactly. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Matt in Ohio. Matt, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hello. It seems you talked earlier about the United States foreign policy and how that often supports and mingles with drug growers. You've got, during Vietnam, the CIA interfaced with Khun San in the Golden Triangle. For heroin and opium, obviously, the Contras in South America for cocaine, and now again Afghanistan for opium. But there's been a number of allegations that not only is our foreign policy kind of, coupled with these traffickers, but members of our federal government, particularly CIA, actually, or even the military, actually bring narcotics into the country and sell them here or basically use them to get funds for the arms trade. In your experience, in your research, are those allegations credible, and where are the best sources of evidence?
Well, let me say this before Peter answers. I do delve into this in Invisible Empire, and a lot of times they'll use proxy nations for plausible deniability. In other words, during the Iran-Contra affair, what did they do? Well, they had Israel buy the arms. They put out the front money. Then the United States would take those arms, fly them down to South America, and then they would have their assets fly back, usually not military personnel. I know that I have a guy named Mike Tolliver and others talking about how they would fly the drugs into places like Homestead Air Force Base, and we know Barry Seal and Mena, Arkansas. So they always try to use a front organization or something like that for plausible deniability, and they always try to make the trail so murky by using other nations in these international intelligence crimes. What's your opinion, Peter?
Well, I think, again, there's something to investigate here, and I'm not going to give as clear an answer as I'm sure the questioner would like. During the Vietnam War, we know now that drugs came back to this country in body bags of the cadavers of the victims of the Vietnam War. I mean, it's a horrible, gruesome story, but it's true. It wasn't very high level. This was an offshoot of the fact that organized crime, the mafia, had got into U.S. Army in Vietnam and were in a position to set this up. Drugs came back once into this country on a plane that was flying Henry Kissinger. But Henry Kissinger didn't know this. It wasn't Kissinger bringing them in. It was people who had corrupted the crew of out of Afghanistan on U.S. planes. I don't know if it's true or not. Every single one of the sources I mentioned has a stake. You can't call them impartial or objective. They're people with a stake in this matter. But I would think that if this war goes on much longer, we can predict something like this will happen. I would think it would happen in the same way that happened before, not because the people at the top have said, hey, this is a neat way to get money into the country, but because you set up a large, you have a lot of planes flying in and out, and you're going to get corruption. In the case of Colombia, I predicted in 1990, when the first President Bush announced his Andean initiative, it was supposed to be a war on drugs down there, I said, I'll bet you we'll have more drugs coming into this country as a result. And boy, was I right. Within 10 years, the acreage devoted to coca growing in Colombia had tripled as a result of our war on drugs, because you have all the planes going in and out and people having a chance to make a private fortune on it.
We'll be back after this. It's the Alex Jones Show, final segment with Peter Dale Scott.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
Final segment with Peter Dale Scott. You can Google his name or you can go to peterdalescott.net. He is a prolific and well-sourced author, not to mention very insightful. His latest article alone is about 11 pages long with 28 citations. Before we go back to Peter, I want to thank the final sponsor of the day, MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com, 877-327-0365. Have you lost power or wanted to simply flip a switch and get the lights back on? Well, you can with MySolarBackup.com. Get this power generator now. 1-877-327-0365. And we've only got a couple minutes left, Peter, so I'm really going to give you the floor. What do you think is the most important issue today with this opium drug trafficking that obviously our Central Intelligence Agency has some role in?
Well, first of all, I think we need to get out the truth that we're told now that opium is in Afghanistan is controlled by the Taliban. Yes, they have a piece of it, but a much big, maybe 5%, maybe 10%, but a much bigger share is people who are behind the Karzai government. America has done a great deal to create this mess in Afghanistan. I don't want us just to walk away as we did in 1991. That left chaos as a result. I want to end a military incursion that isn't working and replace it with civilian help to the right-minded civilian people there. This is a different kind of anti-war message. But I think it's one that is necessary, and if we don't, I predict that America can find itself in a much worse war a year or two from now than it is even at the present time. So I think it's very urgent, and I hope that the listeners get involved in it.
And Peter, of course, is featured in my latest, my greatest film, Invisible Empire, New World Order to Find. You can pre-order it right now. He discusses how he went to McGill University with Zbigniew Brzezinski. He discusses how both Robert Gates and Brzezinski admitted and really bragged that they goaded the Soviets into Afghanistan. They weren't in there previously. He discusses the Gulf of Tonkin. He discusses deep politics and, of course, COG, continuity of government, shadow government roles. It's a very big film. I'm hoping you get it out there, you make copies, you hand it out to your friends and family to awaken them to this system of control. It's no longer a constitutional republic in which we live, and we really have to work hard to mobilize now. As Peter says in this documentary, to find a voice, hopefully through technology, in which we can take this country back. And I think that's so important to not be morally degraded as a society, to be a society when we see our troops acting in a manner of randomly killing reporters and civilians, to stand up and say, no, that's enough, something has to change, Peter.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't say more about continuity of government on this show, because that is a big important aspect that is worth getting into, and that's something else you can Google for, or particularly on my website.
Absolutely, and some of the best insight out there on the continuity of government program is through Peter Dale Scott. A lot of people still scoff at the idea that a shadow government could even exist. They think it's something that's only in spy novels and James Bond movies, Peter, but it's very real indeed, isn't it?
Well, we had a group of people planning for suspension of the Constitution, which was implemented on September the 11th. Some of those people weren't even in the government, and the miracle is that because the media has never really talked plainly about this, most people don't know that these plans were implemented on September the 11th.
Absolutely. Find out more at peterdalescott.net. Alex Jones is coming up after the break. Go get Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Police State 4 right now over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.